gonna have a baby. You're gonna have a baby, and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary will like, I'm not gonna have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
I don't know.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, this donkey's fast. They tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel were singing,
glorious. And then the shepherds said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. Then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
We should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one they have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly.
Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
Same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Then the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Thank you. Good morning, WCC. Wasn't that awesome? Help me thank the kids' choir again. That was great. Great job, guys. Kudos to the worship team, to the Sunlight staff, and also to the parents that helped them get ready. Well, hey, my name is Greg Demopoulos. I have the privilege of serving as our community outreach pastor, and just want to welcome all of you. Thank you guys for joining us, those of you online and here in the auditorium. Listen, if you're newer to WCC, we'd love to meet you at some point, be able to answer any questions that you may have. Even if you want to take a tour of the building, we can do that as well. At the very least, we ask that you fill out a connection card just to let us know that you were here today. You can do that online. You can also stop out at the New Here kiosk next to the Info Center, and we've got a little gift bag just as a way of saying thanks for joining us. Now, a couple updates as we're getting to the end of the year. I want to make sure everybody's aware of the upcoming schedule. So some of you are hitting the road for the holidays, so this is actually your Christmas service. And so we've got the Christmas photo booths up today, so you can get your family photos taken today. We've got one next to the Info Center, and then there's one downstairs as well if the line starts to get too long, in room 31. And then for the rest of you, hope that you'll be joining us on Tuesday for our Christmas Eve services. We'll have two of them, 3:30 and 5 o'clock. Those will be our traditional candlelight services. We'll have hot chocolate, we'll have the photo booths, we'll have a kids' story time and more. So make sure you come out to that. Just know that there is limited children's programming for Christmas Eve services. So that will be on the main level, infant to 3 years old. And then pre-K and up will be with us in the service. I know last Sunday we ran out of the invite cards, so we have printed more of those. So you can grab those out at the Info Center and invite a family member, invite a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, somebody that you know needs to hear about the hope, the joy, and the peace that's only available through the gift of Jesus. So make sure to join us Tuesday. Then keep in mind as well, we do not meet in person on Sunday after Christmas. And we do that, we've been doing that for years now, just to give staff and volunteers a little bit more time with their family and friends. We will have an online service, so you can tune into that at our normal time, 9 and 10:30. But if you show up here on the 29th in the parking lot, you may be pretty lonely. The doors will be locked, and you'll give our facilities team a nice chuckle when they check the security cameras from Sunday. So then we will be back here in person on January 5th, normal times, 9 and 10:30. So we hope you'll be back for that. Lastly, just want to say thank you. Thank you for your continued obedience and generosity in giving and in serving. Wanted to share, we've been doing our Christmas blessings for the last month, so a couple updates for you. So together, we've provided over 50 winter warmth bags, so those are hats, gloves, chapstick, and more that will be given to local students. 25 single moms and their families through the river, which is our single moms ministry, were adopted and helped for Christmas. Over 150 Bibles and sets of pajamas were donated to CCS, and many more families were actually adopted through CCS directly, through Salvation Army's Angel Tree program, and through our local schools. So thank you very much for that. Additionally, gifts and meals have been provided to residents at Fellowship Missions, and a lot of you have been volunteering in big ways over the last month, including several that helped ring the bell for Salvation Army. So thank you guys so much for participating in the Christmas blessing opportunities. That leaves one project left that was on that original list, and that's our Care Fund offering. So we've been doing this since 2006. It's an above and beyond our normal giving that we do an additional offering, and that allows us to respond to critical needs that pop up throughout the year. And so I wanted to share, in the 18 years we've been doing this, you've faithfully given $4.4 million to the world and to the community. So thank you very much. Again, that is used in immense ways, globally and locally. to share the love of Jesus with people. It truly does. As we meet physical needs, it opens a door for connection. It opens a door for relationship. But it ultimately opens a door for us to share about eternal needs, which is the most important, right? So just to give you a glimpse of how the Care Fund is used, here's one story we're going to show. This is a story told by a volunteer that works with one of our partners, International House, in Fort Wayne. So take a look.
What if sharing Jesus' love could turn strangers into family? Here in Fort Wayne, your generosity is making this beautiful reality possible for refugee families. For 2 years, my husband and I have been building relationships with two Afghan refugee families. What began as a local mission has blossomed into family. They now call us brother and sister. Your support through International House allows us to be Jesus' hands and feet in ways we never imagined. It's been a joy to serve as we come alongside these families to fix cars, repair appliances, and provide groceries when times are tough. But it's the little moments that mean the most, the opportunities to celebrate and do life together. Picture this, 9 family members crowded around a cake, all of us singing off-key and watching the wonder in a child's eyes as we celebrate their birthday. These are the special moments your generosity creates. Your support also opens doors to profound conversations about faith. When a young boy asked, "Do Christians believe in 3 gods?" my husband explained the Trinity using something from the boy's own worldview. He shared that just as Muslims have 99 names for God to reflect his character, but he is still one God, so Christians have 3 names for God that reflect his nature. The boy's eyes brightened with new understanding. When I speak of Isa al-Masih, the Arabic name for Jesus, I see curiosity in their eyes. I share how, in my relationship with God, I see his love and beauty. And sometimes, in quiet moments of prayer, I catch a glimmer in my friend's eyes, a shared understanding of God's beauty. I hope that one day she will understand that Jesus loves her more than she can imagine. Through your support, we're not just meeting physical needs. We're showing refugee families that Jesus' followers love extravagantly. To everyone who's given, thank you. You're changing lives. And to those considering getting involved, know that these families crave relationships and connection. Your support, whether financial or with your time, makes all the difference. From our hearts, thank you for being part of this beautiful journey of love and connection.
I love that story, and it's incredible the work God is doing through our volunteers and through International House. And that's just one of many stories that he's working in through all of our partners. So again, please prayerfully consider being part of the Care Fund. You can do that online. You can grab a Care Fund envelope at the info center. Just need to make sure that that's done by December 31st. And so again, thank you so much for your generosity. Thank you for joining us today and being with us.
1 Peter chapter 1 verses 8 to 9 says, "You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious and inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls."
This is a season of joy. From the sleigh bells to the choir of angels singing, and to the wonder on our children's faces, we are invited into celebration and joy.
This third Sunday of Advent, we will light the candles of peace and hope, along with the third candle, which represents joy. This candle serves as a reminder that our trust in Jesus is a call to a life filled with inexpressible joy.
In the stillness of a silent night, after centuries of anticipation, God was quietly preparing the way. Through the words of Amos, God promised restoration. Through Micah, a ruler would rise from Bethlehem. Isaiah declared that the darkness would not overcome the light. And Zechariah saw visions of cleansing and renewal. A Savior was born, who would bring hope where there was despair, restoration where there was brokenness, and peace that only He can offer. Even in the silence, God is at work.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said. "For this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.' Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, 'Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too.' After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod."
And Merry Christmas. Yeah. Well, we are talking about joy today as we work towards Christmas Day. And you can see the Advent candles, I hope. But there's something unique about how they're arranged. They're all centered around Christ. And that's significant. So as we've gone now 3 weeks, first talking about peace, last week Denny talked about hope, and today we're going to talk about joy. All three of those are connected to Christ. And we have peace and can experience that because we believe God can. And we also believe that we can have hope because God will do it. And we're going to see today how joy can be experienced. But it's a little bit different. It's not just knowing about God, that He will do it, He can do it. We're going to talk today about the way to experience the kind of joy He wants for us is by having a relationship with Him. A deep relationship with Him. So we can have joy because we have a relationship with Christ. Now, I probably should have thanked Caleb, who read for us, but I'm not going to. He's the resident pastor here, and he made a parody of me when I was gone. And you know what I told him? "Hey, that's a Christmas miracle. You still have a job here." I didn't know I had so many idiosyncrasies. Apparently I do. Maybe you've noticed, but it was a lot of fun, and I just call him my stunt double now. So anything dangerous, just go to Caleb. That's what I do now. But I woke up this morning, and I was happy, and I had joy. And that's because today is Karen and I's 34th wedding anniversary. And I know what you're thinking. That woman is a saint. And she is. She is absolutely amazing. And so the only thing she lacks is discernment because she married me. And if you know her, you know that it's true just how much she loves God and how much she loves her family and her friends. And she loves so well. And she loves me. So I woke up with not just happiness, but joy. So what's the difference between the two of those? What's the difference between happiness and joy? Well, the best way for me to describe that is happiness is something external that happens, an event, we'll just use Friday night's football game. For some of you, what happened? You were happy because your team won. For others, you weren't happy because your team didn't win. But I think for those of us who didn't feel happy after the game, we're just waiting until Notre Dame goes down. And then we'll be happy, and everyone else will be sad. That's how it works, right? Something good happens, we're happy, we're excited. And then something bad happens, and we're sad. And that's normal. That's part of life. But it's external things impacting us here. Where joy actually begins on the inside. In our soul, that deep place, and it works itself from the inside out. Happiness is outside in, and the way that we're going to have joy is just like Karen and I, that I have joy in the relationship with Karen. Now, I don't like using this term, but I would tell you that Karen is my soulmate. But I'd also tell you, if you're single and dating, you're not going to find your soulmate. Soulmates aren't found, they're made. And if this message was on marriage, I would have someone else talk about it. Someone we didn't know come in here and talk about marriage for us. But I can tell you this, that I've grown deeper in love with her, yes. But my joy has grown in the relationship because it's deep. It's on a soul level. And the work that we put into that, and it is work. The relationship, as it's grown. Yes, I love her more today than I did when we were married. And I also experience way more joy in that relationship. And what we're going to see is that joy comes from deep relationships. I want to read a quote to you. It says this: happiness is typically a more fleeting emotion, often sparked by a particular moment or event that brings a sense of excitement or exhilaration. Sounds right? Joy, on the other hand, is a more lasting state of being, characterized by contentment and satisfaction with life, based on deep, meaningful relationships. And we, when we have deep, meaningful relationships, can experience joy from that, providing they're not toxic, but deep, meaningful relationships. But with Christ, it's the same. Our relationship with Him can determine how much joy we actually have. As I was preparing for this message, it was really hard. And people would ask me, hey, how's your message going? When can we get the slides? Hey, how's it going? And I would just have this blank stare on my face. And I think they started getting worried. So people start sending me stuff about joy. Now, why is that? I have a deep and meaningful relationship with Christ. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. But I didn't understand this until this week. I always took Hebrews 12, verse 2. And Jesus, who is the author and finisher of my faith, went to the cross, suffered, humiliated. But in that verse, it says, He did all of that for the joy that was set before Him. Future. And that's how I've kind of lived my life. I thought joy was to be looked at as if it was in the future. And certainly, if that is how Jesus looked at suffering and trials, then me too. Joy seemed, I wouldn't say inconvenient, but unlikely. With the reality that we live in, and then I went to Jesus, and I'm looking at what He did, and He looked out ahead. And this week, the Lord showed me taught me, spoke to me. There's a reason why. Because when Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins, that when he took upon the sin, his relationship with God was broken. And joy comes from a right relationship. Jesus' joy came from a right relationship. But the reason Jesus had to look out beyond that is he's going to take the sins of the world upon him. And when he does that, he's going to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because our sin went to him. And when that happened, he was separated from the Father. When we're separated, there is not joy in that relationship because there's a separation. Now thank Jesus for being willing to do that, even to the point of not having joy and being separated from the Father for us. But when a person places their faith in Christ, when they do that, they receive the gift of eternal life and the forgiveness of those sins. All those sins, past, present, and future. And so what that means is that we will never be separated from God. Isn't that amazing? It's wonderful. So our joy isn't something that we can just experience in the future. And that's how I lived. My joy is going to come after I die and I'm in God's presence. No. I can experience that relationship with Christ today. And that's what he wants for each one of us. To not let just all the chaos and the good and the bad and the happy and the sad and discouraged and sorrow and brokenness to affect our souls. It's an emotion. Those are right responses. But joy comes from the inside out. And we experience joy as we grow deeper in our relationship with Christ. That's our vision statement, the first half of it. Growing deeper in our relationship with Christ. So that is what the challenge is. And for me, and maybe some of you, to not think about it in the future, think about it for today. I can have joy because of my relationship with Christ today. So I think about the way that Christ works. And then I connect that back to the Christmas story. And we lit the candle of joy and we read from Luke. The kids were singing. Wasn't that amazing? Doesn't that warm your heart? It's like, oh, why don't we have Christmas every day? I'm already broke. I don't need to be buying gifts every day. Otherwise, I would suggest it, right? So this idea, this special thing in seeing that. And they were singing and the scripture that was read. And then Caleb read the scripture about the three wise men. And those three wise men were kings. They were rich. And they understood about the Christ star. That there was going to a star be appear to announce the birth of the King of the Jews. The Messiah, the Savior. Interesting enough, apparently no one else was ready. Very few people were seeking him. They were waiting. They were anxious. They were doing Advent. They were anticipating it. And they had joy. And they had some excitement. And they followed this star all the way from present day Iraq. And it's taking them to where? We know, Bethlehem. They didn't. And they follow that star. And they come to Jerusalem. And there's the king, the Roman ruler, Herod. And he's there. And he asked the king, because the king should know, where is the Savior? He's already been born, by the way. I know we mix it up and we think they were there at the stable. No, he'd already been born. They're pursuing to come and worship him and give him these gifts. Where is the King of the Jews? This baby that's been born, the prince. He doesn't know, so he calls in all the teachers, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, really religious people who know God's word. In fact, they memorized tons of it. And so they come in. Can you picture the scene? Here's the king, Herod, on the throne, the wise men, and then these wise men, so-called wise men of Israel, religious people who on the outside would look great. And they ask him, Herod asks him, where's the king of the Jews being born? And they didn't have to huddle up and like, well, we'll get back with you. I got to do some study. We got to prepare my remarks. They just said, Bethlehem. They knew. And then they quote Micah 5:2. And it says this, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf. You know, we often look at prophecies about something in the future until it's happening. And we should look at prophecy as a promise. God, when he says something's going to happen, it is going to happen. He said he's going to send a king. He's going to be born of a virgin. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Dozens of prophecies. And these religious people knew them all. But I want to just focus just a little bit on this idea that we're going to see three responses from three different groups of people when they hear the truth of God's word. The first group are who? The ones who knew it. They quoted. They knew more than the wise men about the king of the Jews and the Messiah right here. But even as these people are seeking the king of the Jews and they tell him there's a star, what was their response? Nothing. No response at all. They knew it was true. God said it. They did nothing with it. And then there's Herod. He would be the opposite of these really religious people. He was a pagan. He was a murderer. But you know what? When he hears the truth of God's word, he believed it. How do we know that? Because what does he do? He believed it enough to act. But his act was to plan to kill the king of the Jews because he was not about to let someone else rule. He was all about the power, all about control. So he's plotting to now kill Jesus. Then the wise men, when they hear this truth from God's word, not only do they know it now, they understand it, but they stepped out in faith and continued to follow the star towards Bethlehem. The question would be, which one do you want to be and which one are you? Sadly, I've been probably all three of those at times in my life. But I can tell you, if you haven't ever trusted Christ, and I'm sure you've heard John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. If you've been here very many times, you've heard that Jesus died for our sins. We are sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. And his death on the cross is the sufficient payment for your sins. What are you going to do with that truth? You've heard it. You can do what the religious people did and just walk away. You could do what Herod did. You can hear it and then go about your own plans to keep control and the power over your own life. You're not about to give up your power, your control of your life, by placing your faith in Christ. I hope we're all like the wise men. When they hear the truth, they believe the truth, they see the implication of that truth, and they take those steps in an act of faith. They believed it, and they headed out following the star. And where does the star take them? The Christ star takes them to the Christ. Takes them to Bethlehem. And then the star stops. And this is what it says in Matthew 2:10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Unspeakable joy. Inexpressible joy. Overwhelmed with joy. And they enter into the house, not the stable. We can get into all the definitions there, but they entered into the house where Mary and Joseph were. And Jesus is no longer a baby. He's a little toddler. And they come and they worship him and they present their offering of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And those all have significant meaning, but it's a presentation to the king. Which one are we? My prayer for myself and for you is it will be people who, when we hear the truth, that we respond to the truth and take those steps of faith, believing that what God says is not only true, but we see the implication. We see what it means for us. Today we're talking about joy, exceeding great joy. Do you believe that you can have it today? Like I said, I've lived a long time thinking that was in the future. And it's not that I never experienced some joy, I have a deep relationship with Christ. But because the way I was thinking, I was putting that off. And it was a great motivator to me as we've suffered and done things and the trials of life. Oh, it's coming, it's coming. No, it's here. Just like when they saw Christ, he's here. He's been born. And they worship him. So response of faith. So why was it just three wise men? We know that Herod believed it. And what did he do then? He plotted to kill him. God tells the wise men, don't go back that way. Don't go tell Herod where Jesus is. So they take a different route. Herod actually sends his soldiers and kills every male child in Bethlehem under 2 years old. Pretty horrible. All in an attempt to kill the king of the Jews. But I think about that. Herod responded. The three wise men responded. The shepherds responded. Of course, they had to see angels. Mary had to respond because she saw an angel. Joseph had to respond because he saw an angel. But why didn't they respond when they saw the star? Today we'd say it's the Christmas star. So go ahead and put up the picture just of a group of stars. Beautiful, amazing. Can someone point out to me the Christ star? Nobody? There's some smart people in here, right? Which one? Well, I don't know either. It's the one in the middle there. No. I don't know. You don't know. It announced the birth. It's not there. But the point is, people didn't recognize it. It had to be pointed out to them. It had to be pointed out to them. And So they were waiting for the star to arise, it says. And it arose when Christ was born. And they started this journey to go and worship him. But isn't the Christ star the biggest, brightest one? That like, it's so bright, you can't even hardly see the other ones? Isn't that what we do? Put a star on our Christmas tree? Flagpole? When I was a kid growing up in a town of about 300 people, the biggest thing in town, maybe the only thing in town, was a grain elevator. So just think Packerton, but not that nice, okay? With these great big grain elevators, and they would put a star on top of that. And it's the river bottom of the Mississippi River, so it's flat, and you could see that star for miles. It's the only star there. You look on the horizon, that's the only one. That is not what the Christ star looked like. And the Christ star and Christ himself just blends in with all the other stars. You have to be looking for it. It's probably, you're probably going to have somebody point it out to you. Now, if we're to take that a little bit farther, it's not just the Christ star, it's the Christ. Jesus is just the one thing, and we know he's the main thing. In fact, we'd say he is the only thing. He is the way and the truth and the life. Everything circles to him. Peace we get from him. Hope and joy, love, contentment, all these things come from him. But we tend to follow other stars. Power, control like Herod. Maybe it's position, maybe it's relationships. You have to answer that question for yourself. What things are you pursuing other than the Christ? What other stars kind of have you fixed on it? You know where that is, and you know where to head, and that's where I'm going with it. So I'm going to live my life, and everything lines up to that. You want to know how? Look at your checkbook. Look at where you spend the bulk of your time. What do you think about the most? Him? In that deepening that relationship with him, can you even carve out time for him on a daily basis? Carve out? Because I have all these other stars that I'm seeing, and it's not as bright maybe. It seems more distant. No, it's Christ, the King. Christ, the King, the one who died for us, the one who loves us. You want to have joy? Grow deeper in your relationship with him and know that no matter what you've done, what you've said, how you've hurt other people, that he loves you completely and perfectly. He says, you are my son, you are my daughter. You want to have joy? Connect with him relationally that way. Joy comes from the inside. But he's the one that produces it in us. Pursue that relationship with him. If you show that star just one more time, I want you to really think about, of all the things we could pursue, what would be better? I'd also suggest to you this. We're leaving here. We're leaving this building, right? And some of you are going to travel. Safe travels. But as you go, would you point out Christ, people? Would you do that? Would you point people to Christ and say, that's him? And guess what? The world can't even see him. They don't recognize him for who he is, or maybe that he even existed. Certainly didn't raise from the dead. No, yes, he did. And he's seated on the right hand of the Father, and point people to that. And for those of us staying, let's go out and point people to Christ. So joy. I'm praying for you that you have joy. I ask that you would pray for me that I would experience the joy that comes from knowing who Christ is. That's a huge part of the Christmas story. Jesus didn't remain a baby. He did become king, and he became our Savior. Praying that we experience his joy. Spend some time getting to know your Savior better. And if you don't know him as your Savior, please come right here, and we can go someplace and talk about it quietly and respond like the wise men to the truth about who Jesus is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our prayer this morning is coming from a place of thankfulness. And Lord, help us to be joyful because of our relationship with you and what you've done for us and who you are, that we get to know you, that we have a relationship with you. So Lord, help all of us to pursue that relationship, to spend time with you and just fall more in love with you and the joy that will come. We're so, so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Safe travels. See some of you back here Tuesday night. Merry Christmas.